The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
When the Facebook Cambridge Analytica data scandal broke in early 2018, my next guest found himself in the centre of a storm. Christopher Wylie blew the whistle on Cambridge Analytica, a scandal that led Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to testify before US Congress and made us look at the election of Donald Trump and at Brexit in a new and sinister light. Well, a new book from Christopher Wylie has just been released. It's called Mind FCK. Inside Cambridge Analytica's Plot to Break the World. And Christopher's on the line now. Christopher, good morning.
Hi.
It's interesting. With the deal that's just been announced on Brexit, it could be seen as the culmination of some of your work, at least.
I think, you know, when you look at what the Vote Leave campaign did during the referendum, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, 40% of Vote Leave's spending actually went to a Cambridge Analytica subsidiary. And so, you know, which, and a lot of that money was later found to be unlawful. And there's a lot of questions about, you know, what it is that the campaign was actually doing. So, you know, my real concern is that you've got, you know, the product of a referendum that's going to irreversibly change the constitutional settlements of Britain, and there's serious questions about, you know, the conduct and the legality even of how that referendum was conducted.
Effectively, if we were to take everything that you've been writing in your book about Cambridge Analytica, its motives, how it was set up, how it was funded, and so on, its ambitions, because the subtitle of the book, Inside Cambridge Analytica's Plot to Break the World, I mean, there could be a case for saying none of this Brexit nonsense for the last 3.5 years should ever have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, what's, I think, really important for people to understand, and I write about this in the book, is that, you know, Vote Leave, which was the official pro-Brexit campaign during the referendum, 40% of its spending went to Cambridge Analytica subsidiary, which had, you know, previously worked on, you know, harvesting tens of millions of people's records from Facebook unlawfully, worked on projects all around the world to manipulate and undermine the electoral process. And these were the primary service providers for the Vote Leave campaign. And then on the flip side, when you look at what was happening with Leave EU, which was the unofficial Brexit campaign, you had some of the, you know, primary donors and strategists on the campaign regularly meeting with the Russian ambassador in London. And, you know, going and, you know, campaigning also for Donald Trump as they're in, you know, constant communication with the Russian embassy. And I think there's a lot of really serious questions about the conduct of the pro-Brexit campaign during the referendum, particularly when the Electoral Commission ruled that, you know, a lot of the money that was used to fund these services was actually, yeah, you know, in contravention of British electoral law. And, you know, when you look at, you know, the notion of cheating, and where, and, you know, I can say that, you know, the Electoral Commission ruled that, you know, a lot of the money that they used was unlawful. It was against the law. They broke the law. Vote Leave broke the law. And, you know, when you look at, you know, how we treat, for example, you know, doping in the Olympics, right? If an athlete is caught doping, they get their medal taken away. You know, if you're caught cheating in, you know, an exam as a student, you get a fail. And yet when it comes to, you know, a narrow vote to irreversibly change the constitutional settlement of Britain and also affect, you know, hugely affect countries like Ireland and also more broadly the European Union, and where we know that cheating happened, we know that law breaking happened, we know that Cambridge Analytica worked on all kinds of, you know, grossly unethical or unlawful activities, and that, you know, one of their subsidiaries was a primary service provider to this campaign. And yet now, you know, we're sitting here watching a, you know, a deal potentially be made between the European Union and the UK to leave. And, you know, I sit back and I kind of go, like, surely, like, surely we should take a look at the conduct of the referendum,
yeah,
itself.
But it's too late, because in a court case, you know, this old thing that the poison fruit of the poison tree, or the fruit of the poison tree, therefore is poisoned itself, and you cannot admit it in evidence, and therefore, you know, the case would fail. it looks like they didn't act quickly enough once the information about the activities of the Leave campaigns and Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
At that point, there should have been some move to nullify the result of the referendum. But did the politicians themselves not grasp what had happened to them?
I think, you know, when you look at sort of the collective British psyche, right? You'll have, whether it's politicians or voters or people, and, you know, if you said, you know, there was cheating that happened in Zimbabwe, right? You know, cheating that happened in, you know, South America or whatever, you know, Nicaragua, you know, they would go, oh yeah, sure, like they should have a new vote. That's, you know, but in Britain, right? No, of course not. We have, you know, this is the, you know, mother of parliaments, and this is a country where we have, you know, solid democratic institutions. And I think a lot of people, particularly politicians, didn't really felt uncomfortable sort of even sort of engaging with the thought that perhaps, you know, systemic cheating happened in the referendum and that might have affected the result. The other challenge too is that the referendum technically was an advisory referendum. So, you know, there was an act of parliament then that sort of, you know, where the government then, you know, took this referendum as an ideological basis to move forward and with Brexit and issue, you know, a notice under Article 50. But technically speaking, the referendum was like a large poll of people. The government could have chose not to listen or not to pay attention or disregard the result.
To become granular about it, how did they influence the way people voted? What sort of things did they do?
Well, when you look at, and in the book I talk about, you know, how does manipulation happen online? You know, when you think about, for example, imagine you're on a blind date for a second and you meet somebody and they talk about, you know, what, you know, they like the same music that you like, that they watch the same TV shows, they know some of your friends, they hang out in the same places, and you fall for this person because they seem perfect. And then later you realize that the reason they're so perfect is because they've spent 2 years stalking you, right? They've gone through your text messages, mm-hmm. they've gone through your photos, they've looked at who your friends are, they follow you at work. And in that moment, you're vulnerable to being manipulated. You know, this is how manipulation happens all the time. It's just what Cambridge Analytica did is they identified those same kinds of features of a person, but from their social media profiles. And instead of going on a date, you know, they would have algorithms that would invite people to, you know, Facebook groups, right? Or forums and chat rooms and all kinds of things where you can start to, you know, talk to people.
And this is where you lie to people.
Yeah, and you know, the what I think is important for people to understand about Cambridge Analytica is, you know, when I first joined, Cambridge Analytica didn't exist. I joined a company called SCL Group, which was a British military contractor that was at the time researching radicalization online, right? So how do people get targeted by, you know, at the time, this is when ISIS was just emerging, how do people get targeted by radical jihadist groups? Who is vulnerable to that kind of messaging? And, you know, who is vulnerable to being manipulated to, you know, later either support financially or join an extremist group? And, you know, what I talk about in the book is seeing the work that we were doing be completely inverted after we got acquired by an alt-right billionaire by the name of Robert Mercer, who's a hedge fund billionaire, very right-wing guy, who then put in Steve Bannon in charge of the company. And, you know, the company continued when it became Cambridge Analytica to research radicalization and extremism. It's just rather than with the view of mitigating or preventing or interfering with radicalization online, the work got inverted, and you then saw people, the same kinds of targets, you know, typically young unmarried men, more prone to paranoid ideation, who would then be targeted except for the alt-right. And instead of, you know, trying to prevent them from engaging with more radical thoughts, they were encouraged to. And when you look at the alt-right and at the formation of the alt-right, both in the United States and then also in Britain, you know, people sort of look at it as like it's a political ideology, but I think it's better understood as like an insurgency or a cult. When you look at Trumpism and how a lot of things that people support does just make absolutely no sense because it's a cult and it grew that way.
The extraordinary confluence of advantage to two parties, the alt-right and Steve Bannon in charge there, this kind of disruption of the world order, of even the American political order, of the European order. And that totally suited the Russians as well. So you've got, you know, a capitalist funding this process to the tune of billions, and you have Vladimir Putin, who's also got personal billions, never mind what assets his government has, embarking really on a joint project, perhaps wittingly, perhaps unwittingly.
Yeah, so when you look at, you know, Cambridge Analytica, you know, engaged people, you know, psychologists who were also going to St. Petersburg in Russia and giving briefings on how you can use social media data to profile voters, you know, in the United States, for example, and, you know, the impact that you can make on their perceptions and political views using these kinds of techniques. You know, and at the same time, when you look at Brexit, you had some of the largest funders of Brexit, you know, and some of the largest organizers of pro-Brexit campaigns with Leave EU, meeting regularly during the time of the campaign with the Russian ambassador. You know, and there's documentation of that, you know, and you know, when you look at, when you put a lot of things together, right, you have Russia comes up in this story left, right, and center. And they had companies that were approaching Cambridge Analytica, you know, asking about what kind of data assets do they have on voters in, you know, the United States, for example. And, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, should be looked at, we talk often about this Trump-Russia affair in the United States, but there's actually quite a substantive corpus of evidence about, you know, Russia's attempt to interfere in the Brexit referendum. I talk about some of that in the book. And yet, for some reason, you know, British politicians, you know, do not want to talk about it and do not want to look at it. And I think it's in part because it almost sort of hits at the British psyche.
Yeah.
When you too, you Britain, Great Britain, you know, can still be vulnerable to foreign yeah. influence and manipulation.
It brings me back to an expression used by the late Lord Denning about the Birmingham Six when they were wrongly convicted. But he could not contemplate that. He said it was an appalling vista. And that's really what you're saying, that the British establishment could not contemplate the appalling vista that a British election could have been manipulated, or a British referendum could have been manipulated.
Yeah, and it really almost, you know, it's in keeping with, you know, a lot of the sort of underlying beliefs about Britain that really fueled and currently fuel pro-Brexit ideology, that this is a large, you know, colonial country that can still make it in the world on its own, and that it is the powerful country. And, you know, that's no longer true. And when you have that overconfidence, it makes you vulnerable to being manipulated. And that's exactly what happened in Brexit.
Well, the book is absolutely fascinating. It's called, and I can't say it on air, but I can spell it, Mind FCK, subtitled Inside Cambridge Analytica's Plot to Break the World. And its author, the whistleblower, Christopher Wiley, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.